on the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Hey, everybody. We are at the end of January, the month that always seems to last 60 days. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is a taped edition of Brewers Weekly right here for your podcast feeds and on YouTube as well on 620 WTMJ. I mean, there's enough news to start talking about given we're only, you know, less than 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. I'm about 2 weeks away from reporting myself down to spring training, so we're all really fired up to bring you coverage here on the flagship home as the Brewers get ready to head to the desert and some non-roster invitee news, some World Baseball Classic thoughts. We'll also talk a little bit about the prospect rankings that have come out this week since everybody kind of works together on what the top 100 looks like all at once between Baseball America, MLB.com, also The Athletic with Keith Law. And then on top of all that, too, I do want to rant a little bit about the top 10, top 100 right now lists. I just think they're so stupid, but we'll save that for when we get there. First, let's talk about the new guys, Jett Williams and Brandon Sproul. We in the media had a chance to talk with the guys this week, welcome them to Milwaukee over Zoom. A variety of questions. Now, I will say, these guys coming from the Mets, they're pretty darn well media trained, but I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course. We did get some good stuff out of Jett, of course, being 5'7", 175 pounds. We'll play some of that audio, as well as Brandon Sproul talking about all the things that he's really excited about, you know, hearing from guys and what the Brewers do so well and what makes this organization hum. So let's just start going clip by clip here, hearing from the guys in their own words. Jett Williams, just on joining a team that fits his skill set.
Yeah, I think just looking from top to bottom of the lineup and kind of the way they play, a bunch of short guys that are a little bit scrappy, so similar to me. But no, I think just the way they play the game is kind of similar to how I play. Just kind of go out there each and every day and play really, really hard. You know, the ultimate goal is to win, and they are pretty good at doing that.
Brandon Sproul now joins a very, very long list of, you could call it inexperienced, but maybe just call them green, young arms that the Brewers have stockpiled all of a sudden. You know, the guys that made their big league debuts last year, like Logan Henderson, like Chad Patrick, like Jacob Mizorowski. Sproul also made his big league debut last year, making four stressful starts with the Mets when it seemed like every single game mattered for them making it or ultimately not making the postseason.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, those first four starts, you know, it was big situations, but it was fun. Just go out there and just, you know, do the best I can and, you know, hopefully come out on top. Those four starts just helped get my feet wet. So now I know, you know, how those games are, how the environment is, and all of it was super fun, to be a part of. So going into camp, you know, kind of, I'm not going to say used to, but kind of have an idea of what it's going to be like.
A natural conversation that came up around Jett Williams was talking about what position is he going to play. So he's played shortstop the majority of the time in the minor leagues, nearly 200 games in his career at shortstop. He's also got 30 plus games at second base. He's almost got 50 games in center field in the minor leagues. Where does he think he's going to play?
I'm pretty comfortable at all three positions now. I think I've played them so much now that they kind of come natural. I think for me, as long as I'm playing, I don't really care what position I have or I'm playing. Really, it's just as long as I'm on the field, just trying to help the team win, kind of just showing up every day, wherever they want to put me. I guess that day I'll work really hard to get ready at whatever position they want me to play. As of right now, it's at shortstop, but you know, anything can change. So I think just kind of going into it with an open mind of wherever they want to put me, I'll play.
That's a little bit of news there at the end saying thinking shortstop right now. And we'll, you know, I'll talk about WBC in a second, but I think something that I'll put my hand up, I haven't really talked about it all that much. I don't think any of us really here in the media have talked about, because there's always the fan theory of, oh, just tell Bryce to play short during spring training. Well, Bryce is going to go to Team USA where he's going to be second base and really not going to play a whole lot, if we're being honest. So is there a chance that Bryce just locked in on second base. Like, they're not even going to consider him at shortstop, given they have Joey, given they now have Jet. They want to give a fair look to Cooper Pratt and Jesus Mate. Not that they're going to make the team, but give them some reps early in camp before the minor league camp opens up. So that's a conversation for once spring training begins. Now, on Brandon again here, hearing from the guys and hearing from Pat Murphy and hearing from Chris Hook, the guys are going to be obviously having a big stay in his development and whether or not he's going to make this team.
No, I'm super excited. I talked to Merv, talked to Hook the other day, and you know they're all excited as well. I've heard great things about Merv and how he's a great players coach. I've heard great things about Hook, but I'm super excited. I mean, every single player, not just the pitchers, but position players as well. Everyone's a grinder, like Jet mentioned. Everyone just goes to work every single day. Like I said, you just keep their head down. You know, that's all we can do. So I'm super excited to be a part of it, and super excited just to get to work with those guys and you know, see what they have for me and just ask them questions and pick their brain.
And another one from Brandon too, of just about this one kind of went around on Twitter about how the fact that him and Jet don't know anybody in the organization, right? Like, it's sometimes you've got a former teammate or somebody that you knew in the travel ball circuit. Like, both of them don't have any sort of easy connection, but an olive branch was reached out to the guys to try to get them feeling welcomed here in Milwaukee.
What I really do like and respect is I actually have had Freelick reach out to me already. I've had Woodruff reach out, DL Hall, Bryce Terang. So I really respect them reaching out to me, especially position players as well. So that's really good. But I think I'm gonna try to get down there probably around like the first or second. So get down a little bit early.
Similar to Brandon, I pretty much don't know anybody except Brandon now. But no, I think it's good. Just he's a great player, so it's obviously nice to at least probably gonna be rooming together in spring training and whatnot. And but no, I think just kind of going there with an open mind of looking forward to meeting everybody. I think just like y'all said, the way they play, I think it's going to be really exciting just to pick everybody's brain and just slowly get to know everybody.
Another one from Jet here, just the most Pat Murphy-coded sentence I think anybody could ever say. A quick backtrack on Jet Williams is that he missed the majority of the 2024 season due to surgery in his wrist. Now, this was more of like a freak accident where he was diving into second base on a stolen base, jammed his wrist, felt funny, just kept playing through it, and it just wouldn't go away. Ultimately, there was something wrong, and his wrist had to get surgery. So that's how he missed the entire year. It wasn't like a lingering thing, and it was go in, fix it, get out, and let it rest and rehab. So he spends all of 2025 healthy. Now he's going to a new organization, and what makes him play so hard?
And I think just for me, going into 25 last year, after I got hurt in 24, it was like just going each every day and play like it's your last game. So you never know when that might be. So I think for me, it's just go out there and play as hard as I can. And like I was telling Murph, you're going to have to drag me off the field. Whether I'm going to be half dead on the field, I'm still going to try to stay on the field and stuff. But no, I think just like y'all said, just try to really play like it's my last game, every single game, and play as hard as I can each and every day.
And finally, as you know, I know Brian Anderson calls himself the president of the Short Kings Club. Look, I think I need to take ownership of this. I'm pretty short too myself, 5'8". And I think that I should be the president of the Short Kings Club. Maybe this is going to be a ticket that where BA and I go against each other. I'm kidding, but maybe I'll be his VP on his campaign. But the point being, yes, Jet has heard all your jokes about his height.
Yeah, I think just kind of growing up, it's always been, I guess, a little bit of, hey, is he 5'7 or 5'8? And I think my brothers and my family have kind of helped me. I think obviously everybody says what they want to say, but I think I hear it worse from my brothers and my family just joking around. So I think I'm kind of used to it by now. But yeah, I think just that's kind of what made me the player I am today, of just kind of how everybody says something and just kind of always similar to the Brewers, the way they play, a little bit of chip on their shoulder and scrappy. So I think just it's going to be a good fit.
So a little bit from those guys. I'm sure we'll put another microphone in their faces coming up in spring training. And looking forward to getting to know them a little bit more, as they have legitimate chances to make this opening day roster, as we'll see how it always shakes out. Up next, let's talk a little World Baseball Classic, shall we? We did get some news on Thursday, an official roster announcement, not from a Team USA, from Team Venezuela. It's always been rumored. It's always been kind of posted throughout the Venezuelan Winter League, but now it's officially official. Jackson Churio will suit up for Team Venezuela in the World Baseball Classic. I mean, the last time we had a WBC, Churio was just coming over from the minor league side as the top prospect in the Brewers organization, brace-faced, smiling, and just like, I hope Venezuela wins. And it's kind of funny to see how fast it's all changed. In fact, Eduardo Brizuela was still translating for the team, so it's just, pre-David Stern's departure over to the Mets, but it's just funny how it all works out 4 years later, or 3 years later, that Churio now gets to be a part of the team. And the question then follows up, is William Contreras going to be a part of Team Venezuela? That seems to be up in the air for a couple of reasons, and I don't think it's just because of arbitration. Number one, the finger, the surgery. He has shared on social media that he is back catching and swinging again for the first time since the surgery. This has happened in the last 2 weeks or so. He expects to have a fully normal spring training, but that could be part of it. I think the Brewers, and William for that matter, may want to have a fully normal spring training, return to health, make sure everything is hunky-dory as he heads into the 2026 season, hoping that he becomes, back to his 2024 self. On top of that, too, I think for William, there's always insurance policies for both the player and the team. You may be wondering, why would the player have an insurance policy? Well, William's not yet a free agent, and if some sort of injury happens while you're playing in this technically exhibition event, can you get an insurance payout that could impact your free agency? So that's one of the things the teams obviously apply for insurance on these deals, a la Edwin Diaz, Team Puerto Rico, the last time we had a tournament. So these are things that could always hold things up. There's also just the flat-out MLB approval, right? The team is the ultimate final say to say whether or not you can play. And it's been odd of how many international players have not been announced yet. I mean, look at Team Italy. Like, we all assume Sal Frelick is going to be on Team Italy, but the only MLB player officially announced to participate on Team Italy is Vinny Pasquantino, which is no surprise, but Vinny had to announce it himself. So there's still a lot to be done on the international side. There are a couple of Brewers that you would think maybe could be considered. One in the Dominican Republic, Abdi Uribe, should be considered. Now, again, it comes back to, will the Brewers allow him to do so? Does he want to? Can the insurance policies line up? There's a lot of politics that go into this. I'm not saying like real legal jargon politics, but like insurance of, do we want you to go play in this exhibition and risk injury? And that's what's always working uphill against the World Baseball Classic, and why I'm so interested of what's going to happen in 2 years. Rob Manfred has made it very, very, very clear, and the IOC has welcomed it. Baseball is sticking around in the Olympics. It'll be back in the 2028 Summer Olympics. Obviously, it was not in 2024 in Paris, France, because I don't think France knows the difference between a baseball bat and a baguette. But anyway, the point being, it was in Tokyo. It was a welcome addition to bring it back. France decides to bring back, bring breakdancing in. Who cares? But in LA in 2028, there will be baseball in the Olympics. Will Major League players be allowed to play in it? Do we take a two-week hiatus in the middle of the season for the All-Star break and instead have it be the world playing the Olympics? And this World Baseball Classic, do they do it again in 3 years, in 4 years? There's a lot to be figured out in the next CBA negotiation. So that's a little aside of what we could be seeing in the future. And then two other notes I want to point out. Team Nicaragua, we expect Carlos Rodriguez to be on that team. I haven't seen a formal announcement on that, but I wouldn't be surprised given how well he pitched in the tournament last time. And Freddy Zamora, a Brewers prospect, prospect depth, AAA shortstop, I imagine he will be on Team Nicaragua as well. But nothing has been confirmed by the federations of these individual countries. But aside from that, maybe there's some other minor leaguers that give a look, but the Brewers, between Contreras and Churio and Terang, if Contreras goes, if Uribe goes, if Frelick goes, like, it's a good chunk of guys that maybe you're going to be at least missing during pool play. I don't know if Team Italy is going to make it to the bracket again, but we shall see. I'm excited to fire up the World Baseball Classic once again. But congrats to Bryce, man. What a cool honor to be back on Team USA like he was as a younger ball player in the showcase circuit. And I believe he was on the under 18 team as well when he was in high school. So congrats to Bryce. Can't wait to hear all about it on a heck of a team that's been assembled by Mark DeRosa and, of course, Captain Aaron Judge, now on the cover of MLB The Show. I think it's a pretty good cover. Maybe I'll buy it this year. Anyway, let's talk about spring training. It'll be here before we know it. Let's get to some non-roster invitees. You may have seen the headline this week. What does this actually mean, non-roster invitee? Some top prospects. Oh my gosh, are they going to make the team, Dom? What does this mean? Is Jesus Mana, do I need to go get my jersey made right now? No, tap the brakes. Let's break it down into two different categories here. Let's do the auditions and the prospects. Let's start with the auditions because these are the guys that actually could make a more immediate impact on the team at some point in the 2026 season, including a couple that were announced yesterday, as in Thursday, for some non-roster invitees that are on minor league deals. Most notably, an audition for backup catcher. If the Brewers decide not to stick with Jefferson Caro, more on him in a moment, they have added Reese McGuire to a minor league deal, non-roster invitee. Spent last year with the Cubs. He had a solid year bouncing back. But for Reese, he's got a long track record of being a good receiver. Now, this kind of feels like the Jorge Alfaro deal from the last 2 years where he's there just in case something goes wrong. Or like Austin Nola from a few seasons ago. Then a big league offer came about from the Royals and he left camp and went over to Kansas City. So things like this happen with catchers because you can never have enough catchers in spring training, especially at the start, right? That's why you see maybe some guys that you're not expecting on this list, like a Darian Miller, like a Matt Wood, like a Ramon Rodriguez. Like, you may not expect those guys to be like, wait, are they a caliber of guy to make this team? Maybe not quite. I'm not trying to disparage them, but at the same time, you need catchers in the first couple of weeks of spring training, and you need to keep everybody as fresh as possible, given spring training has one reason and one reason only. Get the starting pitchers ready. Somebody's got to catch them. That's where you got to hug a catcher during spring training. So Reese McGuire is added to the depth chart. If something goes wrong, you have a little bit of a safety net there in case somebody is injured and you have a backup catcher behind William, or heaven forbid if it is William that gets injured. That's how that works. Another one that was announced, and I'm just guessing on the name here, I should have looked up the pronunciation, Jacob Wagespack, Wagespack. He's got a little bit of big league experience, tall right-hander, minor league deal, never have enough pitching. Other guys that are in the audition camp here, Garrison Garabito, back from Asia. He pitched overseas last couple of seasons, trying to revitalize his career. Drew Rahm, a lefty who's been injured quite a bit. He's been in the Cardinals organization for 3 years. He's somebody that whose profile really kind of surprises me. I think we're going to learn a little bit more about Drew Rahm throughout spring training. You know, we talked about Grant Anderson last year of like a pick-to-click, a quantum leap candidate. I wonder if Drew Rahm is going to be that one that like maybe the casual fan has not heard about. I like what I see in the data from Tread Athletics, where he was trained and signed out of by the Brewers on this minor league deal. On the position player front, you've got Greg Jones, a utility man from the Rockies organization. Eddie Leonard, who's an infielder, gives some depth up the middle. Now, obviously, the Brewers have plenty of that right now. And the aforementioned Darren Miller, as well as Eduardo Garcia, another utility type as a just-in-case, right? Now, for the prospect category, this is where the people tend to freak out and not understand what a non-roster invitee is. It's exactly what it sounds like. You're not on the 40-man roster, so technically you don't need to report to spring training with the major league team. You know, minor league spring training is at a later date in March, but because you're being invited as a non-roster invitee, they want you to be there at the start of camp with the full squad, with the big leaguers in the big league clubhouse, soaking up information. Not necessarily meaning all these guys are not going to make the team, but Jesus Mate, sorry to burst your bubble, is not going to make the team out of spring training. Same with, Cooper Pratt, unless he hits 1,000, I don't think he's making the team. Luke Adams, hey, the Brewers have two first basemen that are very capable of handling the position right now, but excited to see what he can learn on the big league side. Luis Lara, you're not going to make the big league roster. So the other guys on this list to mention Made, Brock Wilkin, we've mentioned his name a handful of times this offseason of this being a very important spring and season for Brock over at third base. Tate Keener, a left-handed pitcher, somebody that kind of fell off the radar last season. I'm excited to see what kind of performance he could turn in down in Arizona. Also, on this front, too, when we talk about somebody like Jett Williams, what's the difference of Jett Williams and Brandon Sproat? Well, Sproat's already on the roster, right? He technically ended the regular season on the 40-man roster with the Mets, so when he's traded, he's still on the 40-man roster, and thus has not been optioned yet, so that's why Sproat is not considered a non-roster invitee. He's just an invitee. He's going. So Jett not on the 40-man roster, which, oh, by the way, currently sits at 38 for the Brewers. So there's room to maneuver if they need to add anybody to the roster between now and opening day. They've got two available spots, or if there's another trade, if something else happens, the Brewers are ready and able to hold space if somebody else gets added to the organization. Of this list, again, I'll list it out here. Jesus Madé, Jett Williams, Cooper Pratt, Luke Adams, Luis Lara, Brock Wilkin, Tate Keener, Ramon Rodriguez, Matthew Wood. Now, those last two, Rodriguez and Wood, they're the catchers. They are technically, you know, within the organization. They weren't signed to new non-roster deals. But they, again, there's that catching depth that we're talking about here in spring training. Of that list, I mean, Jett Williams obviously is the headline. Like, we all want to see what he can do. Brand new to the organization. Is he going to play short? Is he going to play second? Is he going to play center? Whatever it may be. But we talked about it in the immediate reaction episode, but to reiterate here, competition is good. And we'll talk about it in the prospect segment coming up in a little bit, but you may think, oh my gosh, they have all these shortstops. What are they going to do? They're not all going to play shortstop. Now, of the list of Madé, Peña, Williams, and Pratt, I would think defensively, as far as like natural shortstops go, Pratt has the edge over Williams right now. Now, that's before you talk about batted ball performance, data, anything sort of like that. But like Cooper Pratt is easily the best shortstop defensively, actions, knowledge of position within the Brewers organization. And then I'd say it's Jett, and even some glowing remarks for Jesus Madé in this last round of prospect rankings for him as a shortstop, but these things can still change. They will find time in spring training, especially with Terang gone. Who's going to play second? Who's going to play short? Joey's still going to get some reps. But I think part of it, too, we're going to have to, you're going to remember this now on January 30th. Like, when you see Joey Ortiz not playing a lot early in spring training and people hitting the panic button, like, no. The Brewers have a feeling of what they have with Joey Ortiz. They want to see Cooper Pratt and Jesus Madé before minor league camp reopens. Okay, because then when minor league camp reopens, then we'll see more of Joey, then we'll see more of Jett. That's how I can already see this going. Don't let people overreact to the first couple of spring training lineups. We all know how this goes early in February when, what, the guys are only playing like four innings? Like, yeah, because it's just for the starting pitchers to build up. Anyway, that's your non-roster invitee little primer. Let's get you ready with a rant, a very rare talk radio moment from yours truly. I respect MLB Network for trying to create content in the offseason, especially it's been a pretty slow offseason aside from that week when Kyle Tucker came off the board and all of a sudden we saw some free agents go off. But the point being is it's hard to create content consistently, especially in the offseason, right? And they have created this program, the Top 100 right now, NFL does it obviously too, but like where their projection model, the Shredder, has its output for who they like the most heading into the 2026 season. And then they also break it down by position. There are so many flaws with doing it that way, and it was exposed very, very quickly when the second baseman countdown was one of the first ones, and this is where this rant really originates, that how the heck, and let me also put a hand up here real quick. I am a massive fan of the player that I'm about to say. I'm not trying to belittle him or call him out and say that he's not a quality baseball player. But how the heck is Nico Hoerner ahead of Bryce Terang in the top 10, but not in the top 100 where Bryce is a top 100? I think Nico Hoerner should be a top 100 player. That is without question, in my opinion. I think he is a perfect baseball player, as in He does the little things well. He plays elite defense. Yes, he doesn't have a ton of power, but he swings hard. He makes good contact, refuses to strike out. He's a Brewers-coded player, if you will, down there on the Cubs. How the heck does a player like that not get on the top 100? How? And I know they cook the books a little bit to make sure that for the show they can put Brewers side by side and like talk about them at the same time, or brothers side by side. Like last year, they put Wilson and William back to back, and I'm just like, or a couple years ago, I should say. It wasn't last year because William had such an incredible year. I'm just like, William's a lot better. But anyway, the point being is that you set yourself up for these sort of arguments and these sort of silly just shooting yourself in the foot where you get so caught up with the ranking and, oh, like, I don't doubt Nico Hoerner is a top 10 second baseman. I don't doubt Nico Hoerner is a top 100 player in the game. But then when you immediately contradict yourself, you lose validity right off the bat. And just to give you the top 10 second base list, that's not the only thing I'm mad about here, right? Terang was 10. Let me read you 1 through 9. Ketel Marte, 1. That's pretty consensus. I think we're cool with that. Jazz Chisholm, 2. I'm cool with top 4. I don't know about 2. Nico, 3. Again, not in the top 100 because that doesn't make sense. Brendan Donovan, 4. Great first half. Left something to be desired in the second half. Marcus Semien, 5? Coming off the worst year of his career? Jose Altuve, who's playing left field, what? 6? Gleyber Torres, 7? Xavier Edwards, really good player. Buy stock now. I'm fine with him being 8, as long as Terang isn't 10. And then the cherry on top, Brandon Lau being 9th. Terang has had better seasons ever since he got into the league than Brandon Lau. What are we doing? How unplug the shredder, man. How did we get this so wrong? How is this messed up? Now, on the left field side, it's a crowded group. The outfield is where so many great players are. But Cherryo being 9th? 9th? Let me read you that list. Jarren Duran, 1. Hold up. Jaron, it's not 2024. He had a great 2024. Did not have the same 2025. Roman Anthony, 2. Back-to-back Red Sox. What? Roman Anthony got a couple months in the show. What? Cody Bellinger, 3. I'm fine with that. Riley Green, 4. Also fine with that. Hope the swing and miss doesn't stick around. James Wood, 5. Like, right now. Take your Brewers glasses off for a second. James Wood, Jackson Churio, right now. Go. Churio, right? I mean, I have a hard time ranking James Wood, given he led baseball in strikeouts and approached the Mark Reynolds record for most strikeouts in a season. I worry about that. He swings and misses a lot. Churio swings and misses. Remember, we were all freaking out about that 0-for-5-5 strikeout game on opening day? Still ended up 2020, back-to-back years. And then Ian Happ, being at number 6, I'm fine with that. I think he's the most underrated player in the Central. I think people over hate on him down in Chicago. I think he's just a quality baseball player. Yordan Alvarez is 7. I just wish he would stay healthy. Kyle Stowers, 8. Another Marlin buy stock now. Churio, 9. Brandon Marsh, 10. That one felt a little odd to me, too. But the point being is I'm just so confused why we let them get away with this. I don't get it. I think the Cubs fans have every right to be angry about Nico snubs, and I think the Brewers have a right to be angry. Like, well, wait a minute. If he gets snubbed from the top 100, how is Bryce 10th? Something's wrong with the shredder. They need to update their software. Okay, let's wrap things up with some prospect talk and talk about the future and to go inside with a really quality team that's going to be taking the field in 2026. Stay with us. One more segment here for Brewers Weekly. Let's wrap things up looking to the future. And I know people have become prospect experts in the last week analyzing Brandon Sproat and Jett Williams and trying to decide what is the future of the Brewers farm. Let's make a couple of things really clear here right off the jump. Did the Brewers get better for the 2026 season? It's inconclusive, right? By trading Freddy Peralta. They still have pieces that help them. And as I said last week, I'll say it again here. They got better for 2027, 2028, and 2029. Whereas every other team is like 26 and 27 is all they're able to think about right now. When you sit here and look ahead and think about the fact that you'll have in 2028, which is the final guaranteed year of Christian Yelich's contract, mind you, you'll have still Chad Patrick pre-arb, Jacob Mizorowski pre-arb, Priester in his first year of arbitration, Abin Uribe in his first year of arbitration. You have so much cost control heading into 2028. It feels like that's the year circled right now for how good the Brewers are going to be, because you look at some of these rankings, oh boy, a lot of these writers are very excited about what the Brewers have down on the farm. Let me start with The Athletic, Keith Law. You love him or you hate him. I think Keith does a good job. I've known Keith a very long time, back to when I was in high school. One of my best friends was getting recruited back when Keith was on the ESPN side of things. But I really liked his write-up on The Athletic when talking about, you know, the tiers of, you know, prospect rankings of like which organization has it best. And the Brewers are tier one, group one, number one farm system in baseball, according to Keith Law. And here's his blurb. How good is this Brewers system right now? They were number one before the Freddy Peralta trade, which brought in two more top 100 prospects, bringing their total from four to six. That's the third most in baseball behind the Mariners and Dodgers. The Brewers have had upside and they have depth, a credit to their amateur and international scouts and to player development. That group has taken some less heralded prospects like Cooper Pratt, Logan Henderson, Marco Dinges, Luis Pena, and turned them into potential everyday players' rotation pieces. If anything, I think they've been even better since Matt Arnold took over as the top baseball operations executive after the 2022 season, with better integration across scouting and player development. They're bringing in players they know they can develop, and it's working across multiple fronts. They're well positioned to remain contenders for the next 5 years at least, and it's a credit to the people that they've got that they've built this system. Again, Keith Law from The Athletic and The New York Times. I think that's some glowing remarks from, in all honesty, a guy that's known to be a little stingy with his top 100 prospects. So he's definitely gushing over what the Brewers have. He put Made as his number three prospect, Peña at number 27, Jed at number 45. He was one of the only ones that still had Jefferson Caro on his top 100. Caro at 74, Sproat at 75, and Cooper Pratt at number 99. Over on Baseball America, they haven't put out their rankings of the farm yet. That comes closer to the season. They've got Made at four, but then Peña all the way down to 47. They have Pratt a little higher at 50, Jet Williams at 71, Brandon Sproat at 81, and they still have Logan Henderson, who still technically has his prospect pedigree. He still has his rookie status for 2026 as their number 96 prospect, but still, that's six more guys in the Baseball America top 10, tied for the most in baseball with, likewise, the Dodgers and the Mariners. And then finally, MLB Pipeline, they have five Brewers prospects, no Caro on this list, and no Henderson on this list. So it's Made, Peña, Williams, Pratt, and Sproat. Sproat making it in at number 100. All this is to say, and just to give you a reminder of, you know, look at the team down the street. I'm not trying to, you know, kick the Bucks while they're down. But the Bucks went all in, and to their credit, they got the ring. The Brewers don't have their ring. But now you're in this pickle. What do you do with Giannis? And you don't have picks. You mortgage your future for a lease in the interim to try to maximize your window. And some people say, hey, that's exactly what I want them to do. They have the best player on the planet. I want them to try to do their best. That's fine. But now you're in this moment where you realize, wow, we don't have any of our own draft picks, or wow, we have nothing coming on the pipeline. Now, NBA and MLB are very different in the way that they treat their farm systems. But at the same time, you need to always have internal talent. And I think the Brewers understand, not I think, I know the Brewers understand, how important it is for them to survive is by doing it this way. And I've said this analogy before. I'll say it again over and over and over again. If you want to be somebody that complains about ownership and complains about the money being spent on the big league roster, and you think that that's the only expense that helps win baseball games is what is spent on the big league roster, then buddy, I got some oceanfront property for you in Arizona. Because the Brewers spend, invest, care, integrate every single buzzword that you can think of in their farm system. I have seen it firsthand. Other people in the industry understand what the Brewers do on the farm and what the Brewers do in scouting, in the international scouting. They do things the right way. No nefarious ulterior motives like you'll hear from other teams in the Caribbean. You also have technology like crazy, people who understand that technology. You know, the way that the Brewers find value, let's just throw a random monetary value out there, putting $20 million in their farm system on an annual basis, as in technology, coaching, scouting, staffing, that sort of thing, or $20 million on one player in the big leagues. What's going to give you a better investment in the long run? That's how the Brewers run their system. So it shouldn't be a surprise anymore when the Brewers are in these top fives consistently for the top farm system in baseball. The next step of this, and I know a lot of people clamor for this too, and maybe it'll come, but what are you going to do about it? You can't all have them on the field at the same time. These things tend to work themselves out. Maybe somebody gets traded from a surplus in a year for something that'll help the big league team, something at the deadline. Teams know a lot more about prospects now than they did 10 years ago. It's harder to make a trade now than it was 10 years ago because we just know so much. The Brewers are in a position of envy where they have a competitive big league team, just won 97 games, that's not by accident, and a farm system ready to replenish it on a moment's notice. Not many teams can say the same, especially at the number that the Brewers operate at. So wear that as a badge of honor and say, yeah, my team is good for now and for the future. What about yours? It's a good spot to be in. That is going to do it for this edition of Brewers. Whoa, kicked my camera here. That's going to do it for my edition here of Brewers Weekly. Thanks for listening. We're back live next Thursday night. Brewers Weekly, WTMJ, 8 o'clock on YouTube here on WTMJ, or of course live on the radio, 620WTMJ.com. Self-produced by yours truly. I'll holler at you next week. Until then, keep on swinging.